With BookBeat, I'm Ron Swaim.
This is London.
I'm standing again tonight on a rooftop looking out over London, feeling rather large and lonesome.
There are generations too young to recall the wartime broadcast of CBS newsman Edward R. Murrow. But Murrow is credited with originating the radio newscast as we know it today and with all but inventing the television documentary.
He not only was the leader in his field, he was also, to a large extent, the creator in his field.
That's A.M. Sperber, who devoted 12 years researching and writing her nearly 800-page book, Murrow, His Life and Times. For a man who shaped broadcast news reporting, Murrow was not trained as a journalist.
He had a natural voice. He had also been a speech major at Washington State College.
Murrow joined CBS in 1935 after working with the Institute of International Education. The CBS news department was rudimentary at the time, and Murrow was not hired to go on the air.
It had one announcer, Robert Trout. It had a so-called special events director named Paul White, who was responsible for the hard news. They hired Ed Murrow to handle political programming, panel discussions.
CBS sent Murrow to Europe to arrange talk shows.
He found himself in Vienna in March of 38. At the time, Hitler was about to take over Austria.
This is Edward Murrow speaking from Vienna. It's now nearly 2:30 in the morning, and Herr Hitler has not yet arrived. No one seems to know just when he will get here, but most people expect him sometime after 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Compelled by events to go on the air, Edward R. Murrow assembled an historic team of reporters to cover the war, changing the course of broadcast journalism, as A.M. Sperber details in Murrow, His Life and Times, now a Bantam paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. London, 1940, Edward R. Murrow.
Off to my left, far away in the distance, I can see just that faint, red, angry snap of anti-aircraft bursts against this steel-blue sky. Now you'll hear two bursts a little nearer in a moment. There they are.
A.M. Sperber, author of Murrow, His Life and Times, says public opinion in the days before Pearl Harbor, at a time when America was officially neutral, was swayed by the wartime broadcast of Edward R. Murrow.
The ones that are famous today are those which he did, of course, from the rooftops of London during the London Blitz.
One of the strangest sounds one can hear in London these days, or rather these dark nights, just the sound of footsteps walking along the street, like ghosts shod with steel shoes.
They were dramatic, they were colorful, he was a wonderful metaphorist and one of the great ad-libbers.
At war's end, Edward R. Murrow saw the horror of the Buchenwald concentration camp.
In this camp, Murrow came across people whom he had known in Europe in the 1930s.
Murder had been done at Buchenwald. God alone knows how many men and boys have died there during the last 12 years. I pray you to believe what I have said about Buchenwald. I have reported what I saw and heard, but only part of it. If I have offended you by this rather mild account of Buchenwald, I am not in the least sorry.
New challenges were to come to both Edward R. Murrow and broadcasting after World War II, with a world of growing complexity and with radio and television there to cover it. A.M. Sperber's Murrow, His Life and Times, now a Bantam paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. After assembling a team of reporters whose names became household words, CBS newsman Edward R. Murrow watched World War II come to its violent end.
This is London. Tonight, London is a city of song and celebration and thanksgiving. There are fireworks and parties. Air raid shelters are as remote as the covered wagon. The organized killing has ended in Europe.
After the war, Murrow was named Vice President and Director of Public Affairs for CBS. A.M. Sperber, author of Murrow, His Life and Times.
Murrow had the administrative capacity, he had the devotion, he had the loyalty of the people, so that actually putting him in this position made perfect sense.
Sperber says the post-war period was a time when great changes came to broadcast journalism.
From war reporting, which was essentially combat reporting, to a much more complicated kind of reporting, the reporting of peacetime.
After 18 months in the executive suite, Edward R. Murrow called it quits to go back on the air with a nightly news broadcast on CBS Radio and a collaboration with producer Fred Friendly during the infant days of television.
They literally invented the documentary. Murrow was the heart and brains and editorial direction of that program.
A program called See It Now, but Murrow also anchored a TV broadcast which focused on celebrities.
Person to person was something that got Murrow a good deal of money, quite a lot of leverage, and a good deal of embarrassment.
Are you there, Senator?
Yes, right here, Mr. Morrow.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you.
Senator, I wonder if you would show us around your apartment a bit?
Certainly will. Fine tomorrow.
The Edward R. Murrow story is told by A.M. Sperber in Murrow, His Life and Times, now a Bantam paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. In the 1950s, CBS newsman Edward R. Murrow collaborated with producer Fred Friendly to launch a series of television documentaries called See It Now.
Friendly used to talk about himself as being the man in the engine room and Murrow being the man on the bridge.
That's A.M. Sperber, author of Murrow, His Life and Times. In 1954, Wisconsin Senator Joseph McCarthy was at the peak of his communist witch hunt, and Murrow and Friendly broadcast what was essentially a 30-minute television editorial against McCarthyism.
They ran film clips of McCarthy saying one thing, then Murrow would come on live and lay out to the audience why this was not true.
The actions of the junior senator from Wisconsin have caused alarm and dismay amongst our allies abroad and given considerable comfort to our enemies. And whose fault is that? Not really his. He didn't create this situation of fear. He merely exploited it, and rather successfully. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves.
The Edward R. Murrow broadcast paved the way for McCarthy's disgrace and downfall. Murrow's last documentary for CBS was Harvest of Shame, which he anchored despite a growing illness.
He had a bad cold. He not only smoked terribly, he also had congenitally bad lungs and was probably suffering already from the lung cancer that killed him some 5 years later.
They travel in buses. They ride trucks. They follow the sun. They are the migrants. Workers in the sweatshops of the soil. The Harvest of Shame.
A.M. Sperber's book is Morrow, His Life and Times. It's now available as a paperback, published by Bantam. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. By the late 1950s, newsman Edward R. Murrow's position at CBS had eroded. A.M. Sperber, in her book Murrow, His Life and Times, says the great broadcast journalist did something that enraged his CBS superiors.
Murrow got up in the fall of 1958 and made a speech before the Radio TV News Directors Association.
And all but accused the broadcast industry of decadence.
The top management of the networks, with a few notable exceptions, has been trained in advertising, research, sales, or show business. But by the nature of the corporate structure, they also make the final and crucial decisions having to do with news and public affairs. Frequently, they have neither the time nor the competence to do this.
Murrow had made himself not very popular by this kind of stance.
It did not help Murrow's relationship with the founder of CBS, William Paley.
It was a relationship almost like that of brothers. But you know, when you are very close to someone and you have a very deep-lying difference, that can make the disagreements very painful.
Murrow left CBS to head the United States Information Agency, but was forced to resign as his illness worsened.
He smoked something between 3 and 4 packs of Camels, harsh, unfiltered, a day, and probably as good as ripped his lungs to pieces.
Edward R. Murrow died in 1965, but A.M. Sperber says he will be long remembered.
He was not only a great communicator, but probably one of our great thinkers on communication.
We're impressed with the importance of this medium. We shall hope to learn to use it and not to abuse it.
Murrow, His Life and Times, is a Bantam paperback. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.